Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your I never want to cook again, but I really do love feeding people. Can it snow already, please, friend?
And I'm Bethany Watson, your plane taking, physical activity restarting, I got nice bullied by an old woman on a plane friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we're inviting you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the Haunted Hotel Monte Vista. I wanted a good old-fashioned Christmas haunting, and this is a hotel with a bunch of ghost stories. But Kathleen, the scariest thing of all is something entirely different about this hotel, and I will tell you all about it.
Is it the carpeting? Because hotel carpeting scares the living daylights out of me.
It has to do with the carpeting, I'm not going to lie.
Wait, really?
Yeah. What about you, Kathleen?
I'm talking about weird but useful talents, and this was inspired by a story coming out of England about a white Labrador named Bailey, and I can't wait to tell you about Bailey's weird but useful talent.
Dogs are the best.
I know.
They can do so many things, like get your paper for you or get you into the international headlines.
So did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It started off weird, though.
Yeah.
Because I flew home.
Yeah.
And I got bullied by this woman.
Uh-huh.
And I started out having this wonderful opinion of her. And now I only think of her with ire.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was getting ready to board the plane. You know how everyone sort of like crowds to the front and they're like, don't crowd to the front. Wait for your area to be called. And everyone's like, screw you. I'm going to crowd to the front.
I know. The way that people get off a plane, you think they're giving out gold tickets at the front or something.
Yeah, totally. So I was standing waiting for my area to be called. And I noticed this old woman was sitting on the chairs and she was sort of looking up at me. And so I just sort of noticed it, looked away, looked back a couple minutes later. She was still looking at me. So I sort of gave her like a half smile and then boarded the plane.
Yeah.
Now, when I get to my row, the same old woman is in my row.
Oh, are you creeped out now at this point?
Totally creeped out. And she says to me, "You have the most beautiful hair color." And I was like, oh, thank you. That's really sweet. And she had white hair.
Yeah.
And so I sat down and she asked me how I achieved this color of like icy gray. So we talked all about the toner I use and like, you know, I was very helpful. So she was on the aisle. I was in the window. So there was a space between us. And I was like, for the first time in my life, I hope to God someone comes and sits between us because I do not want this woman to talk to me for the rest of the flight. So luckily a man comes and sits down. He's wearing a yarmulke. She starts asking him about all things Jewish. And I was
okay,
thank God someone else has to deal with this.
Wait, I think this old lady might be me in the future.
So then she then suddenly leans over this man, and this man is sizable, so she leans way forward, and she hands me a face mask. Now, I'm already wearing a face mask, but she hands me the same face mask she is wearing, which is like this black lace, very pretty face mask.
Yeah.
She says, "This is to thank you for helping me find the hair toner." And I was like, oh, that's very nice. Thank you so much. And I kind of slid it over my wrist because I was already wearing my mask.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to wash this first and then I'll, you know, but I want to wash it first.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what kind of crumpled butterscotch, you know, crumbs from the bottom of her purse are on that.
Right. Or like whatever's left over from creating it in the factory. Like we just don't know where this fabric has been. And I don't want to breathe it in. So half the flight goes by. And I'm asleep and I'm reading and I'm ignoring her. And she's talking to this man about all things Jewish still, this poor guy.
Aww.
And then she suddenly leans back over to me and I have my headphones on and she motions to my wrist where I have the mask and then her own mouth. And she mouths, put it on. And I took my headphones off. I said, what? And she said, put the mask on. Try it on.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to wash it first. I just want to make sure it doesn't have like plain stuff on it. You know, I'm going to wash it first. But then, I'll try it on. And she goes,
oh, that was such a good excuse. Thank plain
you.
Stuff.
Thank you. And she goes, no, it's brand new. I just took it out of the package. Try it on.
Oh, no.
And I said, you know what? I'm good, but thank you so much. And she said, it's new. I promise. Try it on.
Oh, God.
And now I'm thinking, This woman has chloroformed this mask.
Yes. Yes, she has.
This woman is a black widow. This woman is crazy and she's trying to kill me. And then I start imagining all of the podcasts that are going to talk about me after I'm dead and how stupid they all say I am because I put this mask on.
Yeah, but you're trying to just appease a nice, seemingly nice old lady.
Yeah. Who's bullying me? So what do I do, Kathleen? Because I'm a freaking idiot.
You put it on.
I put the mask on. Yeah, so I put the mask on. But what do? I stop breathing. So I put the mask on.
I hold my breath
and I lean over and I give her the thumbs up and she's placated for the moment. And then I lean back behind the giant man. I take the mask off. I put my mask back on. And then I put her mask over my mask. So I have at least two ply of something to prevent me from being chloroformed to death. And then Kathleen, the rest of the time we get off the plane, I stop in the bathroom, I stop and and I see her every stop of the way. So I cannot take this stupid mask off until I get picked up at the airport.
Oh no.
I'm so mad at this woman and I'm also mad at myself.
Oh no, Bethany. Oh, okay, so you're alive, so she didn't chloroform you.
No, by the grace of God, thanks to my other mask. See, that's why masks work. They keep you from getting chloroformed by nice, mean old ladies.
She nice bullied you.
Yes, I hate it. It's say, take no. Take no as your answer. I do not want to wear your chloroformed ether mask.
it's like people who I think I nice bullied a friend the other day. It was her birthday party, and everybody put presents in front of her, and I was yelling, Open mine first. It was a noisy restaurant.
But that's that's an appropriate kind of nice bullying because she was eventually going to open yours. So like, that's fine.
Oh, Bethany, is the mask nice? Will you wear it in your everyday life or did you throw it away out of spite?
It's actually really pretty. I'll wear it. I will wear it.
Bethany, maybe it was you in the future visiting your current self.
She was British. So hopefully it is me and I'll have some fun accent.
Because black lace is like very much within your narrative.
Yeah, no, it is. She understood my overall sartorial aesthetic. What about you, Kathleen? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really good. I am very tired from cooking. I think I made something like 18 different dishes that day.
Who all came over?
It was just four of us. My friend Kristen was a last minute addition because her boyfriend came down with COVID.
Okay.
And her PCR test was negative and she was going to spend the holiday alone. And she's like, not again. So she came over. But it was really fun. I was just really exhausted by the end of the night.
So were you the only one who brought stuff? Who cooked?
It was at my house.
But did anyone else bring food?
No.
They didn't. That's hard.
No. It's fine. But you know what? You know what's so funny? My friend Kristen, she was so drunk at the end of the night. She starts to tell me a story and then she looks around and she's looking at my brother and Neil and like she doesn't want the boys to hear. So she pulls me into Neil's office and she's like, I have to tell you. Bethany, I thought she was going to tell me about some like crazy scandalous sex dream. And I was like gearing up, you know, I start rubbing my hands together, like telling you about your crazy sex life because I've been married for 9 years.
Yeah.
And she goes, I had this dream where my cats were alive again.
Ooh, okay. Scandalous. Yeah. Wait, where was your mom? Why wasn't your mom at Thanksgiving?
She's in California at her sister's
house. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But anyway, I started a trend that I would like to tell you and Dennis about because I think you two would like it.
Sure. What's up? Does it involve murder? Did you murder? Did you get a murder in?
No. Not yet. But, you know, it's still Cyber Monday. So yeah. So my brother and I went out to dinner and we had been at the mall all day walking around. We were exhausted. We didn't want to talk to each other anymore. Yeah. So I took out my AirPods.
Yeah.
And I said, I have an idea. I said, you put this in your ear. I'll put this in my ear. And we put on a podcast. You know that one, Radio Rental with Rainn Wilson?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I really like that. It's like stupid spooky. And we sat there at dinner, at a restaurant, in silence, sitting across from each other, listening to this podcast. We would pause when the waiter would come over to take our order and stuff. It was the most delightful time I've ever had.
That's a really cute idea because then you're at least responding to the same stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
That's really a good idea.
And because, you know, it's like I have the Apple Pro earbuds.
Yeah.
So they're really comfortable. And also they have like this amazing noise canceling technology inside of them. So we could really hear what was happening. And it was just like so lovely to just sit out with somebody and not have to talk to them.
Kathleen, I think a lot of people are looking for something like that today.
Yeah.
Because my God, there's so much talking there's so much talking, so much. I flew back home yesterday and I stopped off at Dennis's because he had the cats.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, you know, we exchanged how our Thanksgivings went and everything. And then as he was telling me something else and he said, oh my God, I can literally see your brain shutting off because my eyes just started
glazing over.
Yeah. And like blink slower than normal, like I was buffering. And he was like, whoa, I just saw it happen. So we went and took a nap, which was wonderful.
Did you read any good books or any movies over the holiday weekend?
Not a thing, Kathleen. I did watch the first season of I Think You Should Leave, which is very funny on Netflix.
Oh.
It's like a sketch show, and it's very funny, and I somehow missed it.
Oh, okay.
But my sister informed me and then made me watch, and it was very funny.
I think Neil has seen that, and he's made me watch like a handful of videos from there.
Yeah, yeah. I highly recommend. It's like each episode is 15 minutes long, so it's not an investment of your time. We watched the first season in just like a couple hours. And
nice.
Yeah, I highly recommend. It's a lot of like yelling, but if you watch it in quick bursts, you're going to be just fine.
So I listened to this sort of mystery novel. Not sort of. It's a mystery novel. I don't know why I say that. Like I'm trying to find the word. But it is a mystery novel. It's by Laura Dave. And it is on Scribd, that app that advertises on our podcast.
Yeah.
I flew through it. I listened to the audiobook. It's actually going to be made into a movie by Reese Witherspoon. And if you need just like an easy sort of like Gone Girl-esque book to read, The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave, really delicious. I listened to it while I was cooking and it was a good pastime.
What's the premise?
This woman marries a man with a teenage daughter and then he disappears.
Ooh.
And she has to figure out what his real identity is.
Ooh, I love that. Isn't that the dream of either just disappearing or getting to create a whole new identity? Because that's fun. Then you can be whoever you want. And you can have an accent and force people to wear masks with chloroform in them when they don't feel comfortable.
I got the new merino wool Rothy's, the loafers with that chartreuse outline right at the foothole.
Yeah.
They are so comfortable. They keep my feet so warm. And everywhere I go, I get so many compliments on this specific pair of Rothy's.
I was back on their website yesterday and I was floored by how many new styles they have. I love their driving loafer. The color schemes they have available. They have loafers with tassels on them now. It's not just a slip-on shoe. They have sneakers. They have boots and they're Rothy's. So they're all made from recycled water bottles and they're machine washable.
Gentle listeners, if you haven't picked up by now, Bethany and I are talking about our longtime partner, Rothy's. And just before we started recording this commercial, I was telling Bethany about this new pair of Rothy's boots that I ordered and I cannot wait for them to come. And you said you ordered Dennis a pair of sneakers.
Yeah, I know. And you were like, I was thinking of doing that for Neil, but then no, me.
Me.
Yeah, look, if you haven't tried Rothy's yet, this is the time to do it. And they're also great for holiday gifting too. Take the guesswork out of giving presents and get them some Rothy's. They have something for everyone. Plus, they're durable, they're classic, and sustainably crafted.
I love a good gift that's sustainably crafted.
Yeah, me too. So win the gift game this season with Rothy's shoes and accessories. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/taste with extended returns and exchanges through the holidays.
Again, that's rothys.com/taste, rothys.com/taste.
Kathleen, let's talk about a spooky, haunted old hotel.
Oh, always.
Yeah. So the Hotel Monte Vista lives in Flagstaff, Arizona. You and I have been to Flagstaff.
Yes, we drove through it and we wanted to go drinking in Flagstaff, but then we were too tired.
Yeah, we were so tired. So in the 1920s, Flagstaff, Arizona was getting a bunch of new tourists, but the problem was that they didn't have enough lodging to keep those tourists and all of their tourist money in the city.
Oh.
So they decided that they were going to build a hotel and they were going to put it close to the railroad station and the new Route 66. that was cutting through America.
Yeah. I mean, ideal location. Lots of visitors will come through.
Yes. And the cool thing about this hotel is it was originally called the Community Hotel because so many townspeople donated to fund this hotel.
Is it the first GoFundMe?
It's right. Kathleen, I think it might be the first GoFundMe. It's a red brick four-story building. It has 76 rooms and it opened in 1927.
I'm looking at pictures of the hotel now. And let me tell you, they need me to come in and rework their colors because
Kathleen,
it's not good. It's
you
not good.
You were, put a pin in that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So if you go there now, here's what you can expect.
Uh-huh.
The bar area is two levels and the bar has live music on Wednesday, Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, lively.
Yes. Unlike my pharmacy, which has live music on Tuesdays. They have a dance floor on the lower level and karaoke every Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And trivia every Sunday night. So you can go worship your Lord in the morning if you are Christian. And then you can go do your trivias on that night.
Yeah. Answer questions that most people don't know about The Office on Sunday night.
Yes, exactly. Yes. The upper level bar has pool tables and dart boards. And from the reviews, it sounds like this hotel is really mostly for people who want to either ghost hunt or rage.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a lot of drunk people most nights is what I'm hearing.
I think that Flagstaff is the biggest, closest city to a lot of hiking points at the Grand Canyon. So if you've been hiking all day, you definitely want to come back and rage because you've been surrounded by nature and nothing says, let's wash the nature away from my body like a mojito.
Yeah, totally. And like, you're probably a little dehydrated. So you're going to be feeling that alcohol more aggressively than maybe you would had you been drinking water all day.
Mm.
So the Hotel Monte Vista has also appeared in the movies Casablanca and Forrest Gump.
Oh.
And the cool thing is that from the very beginning, it was super popular, not just with tourists, but also with Flagstaff locals.
Yeah.
So the phrase, meet me at the Monte V, became pretty common. So that's a fun little slogan.
That's cute. Yeah, I like a good tagline.
And this is actually pretty cool. The first American woman to ever be granted a radio broadcast license was named Mary Costigan. She hosted her daily three-hour radio show out of room 105 at the Hotel Monte Vista.
Get out of here.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
Yeah. So during Prohibition, the hotel flaunted a speakeasy right in the lounge. Mm. So like they didn't really try to hide it, but they also then did get shut down. Mm. In the 1930s, there was a light that sat on top of the hotel that served as an emergency signal for all of Flagstaff.
Oh.
So if something was going down, the light would flash. And that would alert local authorities and citizens that hazards or catastrophes were going on in the town.
I get so excited when I start to hear like a big siren. You know what I mean? What's happening? Who's hurt? Who's injured? Do I need to run?
Like, are we in Silent Hill? Is it nighttime? Do we have to go to the church?
I know. Like when you're watching TV and the emergency signal comes on.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a test. As soon as they start to say the words, this is a test.
Yeah.
I get so sad because I'm like, I'm so ready for the end of the world.
I mean, you know what? Just just spend all your money now.
I am. It's Cyber Monday. You don't have to tempt me.
That's true. Spend it like it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then Flagstaff, like a lot of towns, also had tunnels that were dug under the streets. So that people and goods, both legal and illegal, could move about underground. And the Monte Vista Hotel still has access to those tunnels.
Cool.
So creepy. So right now they're used very unimaginatively for storage and pipes. But they have been used in the past for things like opium dens and moonshine distilleries and gambling machines and smuggling drugs.
Yes, all my favorite things.
Yeah. So then the seeming heyday of this hotel seems to have been in the 1940s and 50s because that's when Westerns became really popular films. And so over 100 Westerns were filmed near around the hotel in Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon.
Yeah.
So the stars who were in those films would stay at the hotel. So they have boasted celebs like Gary Cooper, Spencer Tracy, Jane Russell, John Wayne, Bing Crosby, Harry Truman, Bob Hope, Michael Stipe, Michael J. Fox, Esther Williams. They've all stayed there. Noted Western actor Michael Stipe. So let's talk about ghosties. So all types of strange phenomena are reported at the hotel. Mm-hmm. There are spirits who make noises. There are spirits who move furniture around or will just suddenly appear.
Yeah.
Sometimes the lobby telephone will ring, but no one's on the other end. Some things just get knocked over. And it's not because a drunk person ran into it. It's because nothing ran into it. John Wayne was one of the first people to reportedly see a ghost in this room, which he said was nice and didn't make him feel threatened.
My favorite type of ghost.
Yeah, the nice ones. This ghost is reportedly a phantom bellboy. But you still have to tip him because he needs a livable wage.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the phantom bellboy has been seen by residents in room 210, aka the Zane Grey room, because I guess all the rooms are named after the famous people who've stayed there. And the bellboy will knock, knock, knock on your door and he'll say room service. But when you open the door, he's not there. He's missing.
So do you leave the money on the ground or do you say like, come on in, ghosty, I've got some tips for you?
I think you never want to invite them in.
Yeah.
And that goes for ghosts and vampires. So I would say leave the money on the carpet outside.
Okay.
And then the same drunk guy from earlier in your day will stumble by and take it.
Yeah. And then he'll say, ooh, a quarter, time for a beer. Because that's how much beer cost back then? Question mark?
Yeah, probably.
A whole quarter. Thanks, mister.
All right. There are also reports of a woman who wanders outside this room. And according to the website legendsofamerica.com, hotel staff try to avoid putting guests who have pets in this room because dogs will go crazy and tear the room apart.
Dogs are always the first ones to let you know that your neighbor across the street is a bad person.
Yes.
Or the room that you're currently in is haunted.
Yes, or the guy that you're dating is a bad one. Let's move down the hall just a bit, Kathleen. Not a big walk, because I know you're tired from hiking.
Very.
Room 220. In the early 1980s... there was a man who was a long-term boarder in this room. He was known as the Meat Man.
Oh, no. Okay, either he's packing meat in his pants.
That's not it.
Or he works for a local distribution factory that sells hamburgers.
Nope. Do you want to guess one more time why a man in a hotel would be known as the Meat Man? Oh, and he was eccentric.
Okay, was he a sex worker?
No.
Was he a murderer?
No. Not that we know of.
But I'm literally out of guesses. What else could the meat reference refer to?
You're being far too creative. The Meat Man liked to hang raw meat from the chandelier.
Well, it's an Arizona dinner. I hear that's just a lot of beef jerky.
So the man ultimately died in this room and his body wasn't found for 3 days.
Oh, no.
And so it is said that he still haunts the room. At one time, a maintenance man had come in to make several repairs to the room. Mm-hmm. He turned off the light and locked the door. But he must have forgotten something because he returned just 5 minutes later. The light was back on, all the bed linens were stripped, and the television was broadcasting at full blast.
I wonder what it's like to be a boarder in a hotel, because isn't that expensive?
I think it is. I think that I've often wanted to do the math of what I pay in rent and how much it would cost to stay in a hotel as my life.
I want to look this up. If we were going to go to the Hotel Monte Vista right now, it's looking like it's $85 a night.
Oh, so it's got to be more than that.
No, that's what it's saying. If we were going to stay there sometime this week, it would be about $85 a night. So let's do that. 85 times 31 days in a month. It's not that much different than rent. It really isn't.
How much is it?
It's like $2,600 something.
So it's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they'd give you a rate since you're technically buying in bulk.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
This is so interesting because, you know, okay, there's that show on Apple TV, The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And two characters on that show live in a hotel. And I'm like, what is that like? Is that how much money you have? Just like fuck you money that you don't even need a proper rent or mortgage?
Maybe. Maybe they just don't want to deal with having to have your own stuff. I know that there's a YouTuber that I follow. I don't know if he still lives at a hotel, but he used to live in a hotel and he did like a whole tour of it.
I saw this story about somebody that was staying in a hotel recently where they got stuck in the all glass shower and they were totally naked behind, and the hotel staff had to come and unlock them. Like, someone had to come with the toolkit, and they were just naked behind the shower. Oh my God.
I was listening to How Did This Get Made? This was a while ago. And Jason Manzoukas, who's on the show, he told the story about, so I'm now telling us another person's story from another podcast, but here we go. He was staying in a hotel and he said that he clogged the toilet and there was no plunger. And so he called down to the front desk. He's like, can someone please bring up the plunger? And they were like, great. So a couple minutes later, he gets a knock on his door and a guy comes in with a plunger. And the guy's like, let me plunge for you. And Jason Manzoukas was like, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. He's like, no, I got it. Let me take care of it for you. He's like, no, please. I got this. I'll take the plunger. Thank you. And the guy's like, no, please let me do it. I'm happy to do it. So the guy goes in and plunges up his clogged toilet. And then as the man is leaving, after digging through Jason Manzoukas' feces, he goes to him, by the way, I'm a big fan. That's my nightmare.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know, at that point, that's when I go, I'll do the plunging. Like, I get really angry and I puff my chest.
Just a nightmare. So in this room 220, guests often complain of hearing coughing and other noises from an empty room, as well as the TV having a mind of its own. And this is the worst one. Guests waking up to cold hands on their bodies. Just violating.
That's a sensation that never leaves you.
No. Mm-hmm. All right, moving upstairs and over a little bit. Room 305. This is reportedly the most active room in the hotel, according to the hotel's website, which is happy to lean into the hauntings, by the way. So an elderly woman stayed at the hotel for years and then died. She has been reported sitting in the rocking chair, which she loved to sit in during her life. And if the cleaning staff moves that rocking chair, the next day it's going to always reappear back next to the window.
Oh.
And people have also reported my nightmare, which is hearing knocking coming from inside the closet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Someone's in there.
I hate it.
I wonder what the market is like for rocking chairs these days. Like, are they sought after? Do people really buy rocking chairs like they used to?
I think new parents do, but I think that's it.
Did you have a wooden rocking chair in your house growing up?
No.
Oh, we did. We had multiple rocking chairs.
Multiple? How many people are sitting in a rocking chair at once?
I don't. My parents were older. Maybe it was like just a testament to like their age was why they liked rocking chairs. But we had at least three wooden rocking chairs in the house at some point.
You know, now that you mention it, I really would love a rocking chair.
Or recliners. I know people still like recliners.
Yeah. People love recliners. Like dads love recliners.
My mom loves her recliner. And when I sit in it, I'm like, oh, I should really have one of these. Yeah. But it's very hard to find a stylish recliner.
I know. It is tough. We've been looking. We were doing some looking over the weekend, actually, for recliners, my mom and I. I want a rocking chair, but not the kind, not the new kind. And by new, I mean from like the 80s, that sort of rolls on a frame. Do you know what I'm talking about? It more rolls, it more like swings back and forth rather than rocks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Rocking chair. I think that's sort of what new moms get for babies.
Yeah, they're like gliders more than they're rockers.
Yeah, a swivel glider.
I don't like that.
I'm dying for a swivel chair. Dying for one.
Like a desk chair?
No, like, it's sort of like what you would get at Burger King, but like plusher and it swivels, you know, from side to side.
Those are fun.
Because, you know, you could be talking to someone in the kitchen, then you turn around, you're talking to someone in the living room.
Yeah.
Like direction. The world is yours when you can change directions that quickly.
Absolutely. You can literally pivot, you know? All right. Room 306, the Gary Cooper room.
Mm.
Two female sex workers were killed in and outside this room. The red light district used to be on the opposite side of the railroad tracks. So sex workers were not an uncommon presence in the hotel, especially with all of these travelers coming in and out. So in the early 1940s, two sex workers were brought into room 310 with their clients. The men then killed the two women. And to make sure that they had done their job, and because they were a particular kind of jackass, the men threw the women's bodies out the window.
What the hell?
So many guests have reported feeling like someone was watching them. And the hotel's website says, quote, The majority of the time, our male guests report the feeling of having hands placed over their mouths and throats and awakening unable to breathe. I don't know if the majority of the time means that, like, the majority of times men are haunted, they report this type of haunting, or if just the majority of the time that men are in this room, they're being choked.
That's threw the bodies out the window.
Yeah.
That's
awful.
I mean, it's a special kind of monster to kill somebody, but double the monster to be like, I'm going to just toss you out this window.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
Oh, my God. You know what my favorite thing to do in a hotel is? Leave a note under the sheets that says, if you're reading this, they didn't change the sheets.
Ooh, Kathleen. Knowing high five. When I was in high school and my friends and I were staying at a hotel for some reason, I unrolled the toilet paper, took a red marker and wrote, I died in this room, and then rolled the toilet paper back up again.
That's such a good idea.
Oh, man.
You, speaking of toilet paper, have you ever been to a hotel where you sit down on the toilet and you're like, doing your biz, whatever, and then you go to reach for the toilet paper and you can't reach it from where the toilet is?
That has happened a couple times, yes.
And it's like, who designed this?
Yeah.
Who effing designed this hotel where it's across the room? It's like under the sink or something. And you're like, and you can't reach it.
It's like the only people who can reach the toilet paper are people who have Marfan syndrome. Everybody else is just like, welp, I'm screwed. All right, let's breeze through a couple more hauntings because then we're going to get to the real terror of this hotel.
Okay.
Okay, so the big one you're going to read about is the bank robber. In the 1970s, three men decided it would be a great idea to rob a bank nearby.
Oh.
So they did it, except during the heist, the security guard shot one of the robbers. But as you do when you've robbed a bank and it succeeded, you celebrate. Yeah. So they went to the Monte Vista Lounge and decided to have a drink. Mm-hmm. Even the guy who'd been shot.
Mm.
He bled out and died right in the lounge while having his drink. So people reportedly hear a voice saying hello or good morning when they open the bar.
Wow.
There are reports of bar stools and drinks moving on their own. People who are drinking there feel ghostly presences. And that's what's going on in the bar.
Good. That. Okay. If you knew you were going to die, it's not a bad idea to just go to the bar and drink it out until your body finally shuts down.
Yeah. It's unclear if he knew he was going to die or if they thought it wasn't that bad of a wound.
He should have packed it with a tampon.
Always pack it with a tampon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 All right. People hear babies crying in the basement and people see a couple dancing in the bar. All right.
Oh, that's sweet.
So let's look at some reviews, Kathleen. This is where stuff gets scary. The Google review for the Hotel Monte Vista is a 4.2, which is a, quote, very good. Bradley gave it a 4 out of 5, saying that it's haunted, but there's no AC in the presidential suite and parking is limited.
No AC in the presidential suite? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Gerald gave it a 5 out of 5. He said, I can honestly tell you that while sleeping in room 308, I was sound asleep and had an experience of a brown-haired lady hovering over me and screamed in a way that went through my entire body. It was crazy, lol.
Lols.
And then Christina gave it a 3 out of 5. She said, classic ghost story hotel, but alas, no ghosts. Housekeeping and general maintenance have seen better days. Carpets worn, mismatched furniture in the lobby.
Yeah.
We found a lovely toenail clipping in our bed.
This was
followed by finding an old comb by the nightstand.
Oh, no.
And don't think about taking a bath because there is no stopper in the tub.
Oh, no. Maybe that's for a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Maybe you just don't want to be taking a bath in a hotel. This is where things get dirty, literally, Kathleen.
Oh, tell me. I love a good dirty story.
I think that this is probably, from the vibe I'm getting, maybe a hotel you want to visit for the day.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't want to stay there, allegedly, from what I'm getting from reviews.
I think you're right. I think you're spot on about this.
Young A left a review on TripAdvisor. The subject of the review was, you won't get any sleep here. Hair clogged tub, dirty pillows and debris, loud noise from lounge until 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
They said, I booked a room for kicks at this alleged haunted hotel. I didn't get any sleep from the scratching in bed and the endless boom, boom, boom of music coming from the lounge downstairs. No consideration for guests whatsoever. The sidewalks the next day were strewn with vomit.
Oh, God.
The room was one of the dirtiest I've encountered. Would you shower in a tub filled with other people's hair?
No.
Pillows were dirty and soiled. Floss and pins on the floor.
No.
The towels were paper thin. And on top of all that, I was scratching at bed bugs, all night.
No. See, this is why I always check to see. I pull back the sheets and I check to see if there's evidence of bed bugs, no matter where I'm staying.
You have to.
So I'm looking at pictures of the inside of these rooms. They are horrifically decorated. And the room with the rocking chair that you were talking about, Bethany.
Yeah.
I had the same exact rocking chair in my house growing up.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. They can hire people to easily put together a color palette for them, mm-hmm. and it'll make a world of difference. Why doesn't this hotel do that?
I'm wondering if they, because it went into private hands in the 60s, I believe. And then they took a lot of pains to recreate what it looked like when it was first in its heyday.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're trying to recreate the original decor.
Sometimes the original is not the best.
Or maybe you want to do a touch of the original, but with a more mm-hmm. modern look.
Yeah.
Because if you look at quote unquote historical films that were made in, say, the 80s, you'll notice that these quote unquote historical people all have really frizzy hair.
Mm.
And it looked normal to us and we didn't notice it in the 80s because everyone's hair was like that.
Yeah.
And it looked realistic for what we assumed it would have looked like back in the historic times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we don't realize until much later that historic was overlaid with current.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need some of that historic overlaid with current is the point I'm trying to make.
So I want to open this business for people who need help with interior paints. Like, I want to just pick out a cut, like do color palettes and put it on Etsy and like send me a picture of your room and I'll send you back a color palette.
I think that's great. I think that's a legitimate business.
Okay. Well, tell me more about this hotel.
Okay. Singleton Traveler said, I checked in knowing this was a historical hotel, but I was appalled at how bad the rooms were.
Ugh.
Dirty pillowcases filled with hair.
Oh.
Bathtubs filled with hair.
Oh.
Grease on the tables. Mm. At night, the lounge operates until 2 a.m. with their doors open, pounding music. No earphones will help with the screaming, drunken college kids. I called the front desk and asked why they were so loud, especially for its guests. Jess at the front desk said, it's a bar, and hung up the phone.
Oh, my God.
This is the type of ignorant hospitality you will encounter at this careless hotel.
Ooh, what's the worst hotel you've ever stayed at?
I think when I was in Norway, I stayed at this hotel. Nope. When I was in London, I stayed at the, they were both very similar hotel rooms. In the, it was the basement.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it was a closet sized hotel in the basement. So there were no windows.
Yeah.
And I was like right next door to the kitchen galley where it was like just containers filled with ketchup packets and like salt packets.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, I think I stayed in a really bad one in Dublin where the sheets, I think Neil and I both just slept in our clothes on top of the sheets because they were so rough. It's like I'd rather just be cold all night than have to put this on my body.
And yeah.
The beds were really, really uncomfortable and I left them a bad review because sometimes I get really mad.
Yeah, sometimes you get so mad.
And then they denied my claims. They were like, this is not true. What you have written is not true.
All right, two more reviews because I think it's important. Julia, her subject was hives from uncleaned comforter.
Oh, no.
She said, I've given adequate time for a manager to reach out to me before writing this review. And then she's so mad. She says, I will also write this on any platform I can find. So first she says that they've been there before and they've always had a really amazing time. But this last time, they will never go back again. So they went to the King Suite on the fourth floor. They paid almost $200 for one night. They said it was one of the nicer rooms.
No.
They had beautiful views, but they went to an uncleaned room. There were empty to-go containers of food, beverages in the fridge, towels all over, and discarded face masks on the bed. This was last year.
Yeah.
They went down. They told the front desk, who was super rude about it, and they didn't get an apology. He said, come back in an hour. When they returned, the exact same comforter was on the bed.
Oh, no.
Now, she said, I'm hoping they have multiple sets of the same comforter, but all of the rooms have different comforters, so probably not.
Yeah.
She said, later that night around midnight, I broke out into hives that proceeded to cover my entire body. I have never broken out in hives before. We were going to spend the next morning enjoying the beautiful weather, but since I got zero sleep and I was an itchy bitchy mess, we drove back home at 5:30. She said the hives continued over the next 24 hours. And when they called the hotel to inform them, no apology. The manager said they would return the call, but never did. And she thinks that what they did is rush to clean the room and just sprayed the comforter with like a disinfectant rather than clean it.
Oh, man.
And then the last review of this legendary hotel was on a trip for Christmas, New Year, holiday. Nora said, this is from January of this year. The room was dirty from the start. It looked like the carpet was really old, matted down, and had not been vacuumed. I found someone's clipped nails on the carpet by my bed nightstand. The bed made a crickety noise because the springs were in bad shape. After showering, the bathroom, walls, floors, etc. stayed wet because of the steam. In other words, no adequate ventilation. We asked for a clean towel service, which we never got. And 2 days was all that we could take. We wanted to leave right when we walked into this room. We will not recommend this hotel to anyone.
Oh, no.
So I think in closing,
The
Hotel Monte Vista has scary ghost stories. But the real fright, Kathleen, is in the rooms. And I'm not talking about the ghosts.
I'm talking about the sleeping bag.
I'm talking about
towels.
The people who are dirty.
It's time to seek out pleasure in every area of your life. From how you start your mornings to how you wind down at night and everything in between. Right, Bethany?
Right, Kathleen. Kathleen is doing her very sexy voice right now, which she's so good at. And because I'm socially awkward, I don't have a sexy voice.
Dipsy is my new favorite app for when I'm trying to get turned on. And it's really improved my sex life with their sexy stories.
I highly recommend Ronan. He's my favorite Dipsy guy. He is Irish, so I love the accent. He's also a farmer, so he chops a lot of wood. And the cool thing about Dipsy is that you can continue following these different characters. So if there's someone that you really like, there's multiple stories with those characters. You can kind of follow them along.
And Dipsy doesn't have just sexy audio stories. They also have guided masturbation sessions. So no matter what you're into, girl on girl, guy on guy, regular old boring cisgender sex, or non-binary, Dipsy has something for everybody.
They also have nighttime stories. So if you just want to hear someone grading papers or the sound of nature, you can do that too.
When I'm listening to Dipsy, I like to close my eyes and let myself get lost in a world of a story like Hometown, where you come back and then you bang your high school boyfriend or girlfriend and you pretend like you're young again.
I like the one about the farmer. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/taste.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/taste.
dipsystories.com/taste. So if you recently saw your family for Thanksgiving and it made you realize how much you miss being around your family, or if it made you realize how far away you want to keep them, I have a recommendation for a gift for both of those people. Skylight Frames. They're these amazing digital photo frames that you and your family can email pictures to, and they'll show up right away. So your family member feels like they're right there with you all the time.
Yeah, I didn't realize it, but when I was talking to my aunt over Thanksgiving, she's like, hey, good to hear from you. You know you haven't called me since August.
Yay, family.
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I'm sending her a skylight frame so I can update her living room with a picture of myself every single day. And she's going to regret ever telling me that I didn't call her since August.
And you know what? A lot of us have family members who are getting older and it's harder for them to travel. This is also a great gift for them because then even if they can't make it to everything or they don't have the energy for you to come to them, they can feel like they're connected to you as well. And it's so easy to set up. It sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. So no matter how technologically savvy or unsavvy your family member is, they can use it.
And it has a black frame and a white mat, so it looks just like a real photo, and it adds a quite beautiful touch to your home.
The thing I love the most about it, though, is that it's not just one person who can email it. Everyone who has the email address for your family member's frame can send them photos, and so they can be getting new photos all the time, and the pictures can cycle cycle through, and it's always fun to see what new picture is going to show up.
It's also a touch screen, so you can swipe through the pictures and look at them even faster.
So now, as a special offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter the code TASTE.
To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter the code TASTE.
That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code TASTE.
I'm here today to talk about weird talents that are actually useful. And this was inspired by this sweet, sweet story of a dog named Bailey. Bailey is a Labrador retriever in a town called Lowerburg, England. And the Humane Society there, called Dogs Trust, they rescued Bailey. And while he was staying at the Humane Society, they deemed him unruly, untrainable, unsociable, rude, and stubborn.
Oh no! But he's just a poppy boy.
He's just a little boy who wants a home. So to the rescue came Essex Fire dog handler Graham Curry.
Okay.
And he's like, ugh, we need a dog to train. I don't like Labradors. Usually they're greedy.
What? Labradors are the sweetest dogs ever. What is he talking about?
Apparently, their brain is one track for food, so it doesn't matter what they're doing. If they see food, they're like, well, time to eat.
That doesn't make a dog greedy. People are so stupid. I hate everyone. Dogs are not greedy. They're just trying to survive.
I'm now wondering if I am it's like 1/8 Labrador or something, because I also have a one-track mind for food. So anyway, Graham Curry was like, let me see how this dog does with a tennis ball. Bailey loves finding things, loves playing catch, and really doesn't care about food as long as there's a tennis ball being thrown at him.
Oh, thank God he's not greedy.
Turns out he is one of the most natural search dogs that the town of Loughborough, England has ever seen.
Oh, he's got an innate talent.
Yes. And so it got me thinking, humans, what are your talents that maybe people are like, that's weird, but it landed you a really crazy big job?
Yeah, like people who are super tasters, or people who can see more colors than your average person.
Yeah, the police trainer said that if all the dogs that are their search dogs could be like this one, they would have no problems anymore. All the world problems would be solved.
That's so funny. So does Bailey search for people or things or both?
Bailey searches for both. And what a cool job. I would also love to search for missing things and missing people.
Totally. If I had a sense of direction or any skills with nature, I would love that. Unfortunately, you have to be able to find things.
Like people who work in merchandising, do you come out of that sort of job when you're folding t-shirts and pants and clothes? Like, is your closet spectacular?
Oh, I bet it is. Like, that's the kind of thing that you don't lose. You know, like that muscle memory, if you spend so much time folding shirts, it just works its way into your entire life.
I mean, I don't really fold anything. It's just a cycle of things landing on my floor, then being put in the washing machine. And it never, I don't even know why I have that restoration hardware dresser. Nothing goes in it.
Well, and now we all know we're supposed to roll. You know, Marie Kondo told us to roll everything. So
that's right. That's right. I wonder what jobs are out there that pay well that are also like weird talent jobs. Do you have any weird talents, but other than you can play hip hop clarinet?
What are my weird talents? I think I'm really good at spelling.
Oh.
So I flirted with the idea of being a copy editor for a while, but then I realized that I hated it. What else? Weird talents. I mean, I can like push my elbows really far forward.
Oh.
Like if you put your hands on your hips.
Yeah.
And then like push your elbows forward, I can like push them further forward than most. But again, that's not really a marketable skill.
Amber, Tastebud Amber, I put this on our Facebook page. Tastebud Amber said she can break apples open with her hands.
Wait, with one hand or two?
Well, with two hands, but she can break them open with her hands. I've never even tried that. How would you even know to try that?
You wouldn't even know it. That's a thing you do by accident. And then I wonder, how did you figure that out? How angry do you get while holding things?
Yeah, were you in a rage, and also was it autumn?
Yeah, totally. You were apple picking with all of your best girlfriends. You were all wearing different color felt fedoras. And then one of them made you really mad. and you just squeezed an apple.
I don't think it's fedoras anymore. I think it's bucket hats.
Oh, it's bucket hats. That's right. That's right. What about you? Do you have a weird skill?
I'm really good at looking at a page, like a page with graphics on it or type on it, and checking layout with just my eyes.
Oh, that's cool. I don't even know what checking layout means.
Like it's spacing between words and letters and stuff like that. If something's uneven, I can immediately spot it with my eyeball.
Oh, that's very useful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also good at color, you know, just like.
Yeah, you're very good at color.
Color in general. Taste Bud Christy wrote on the Facebook page that she can look at leftovers and then she knows immediately what Tupperware she needs to fit these leftovers precisely into that Tupperware.
That's very useful. That's a spatial thing.
Yeah.
And I am awful at spatial things. I can't imagine what sizes are unless I have them directly in front of me to compare.
Like there's nothing more frustrating than, I don't know, putting away like a big pot of soup and then having half a cup left.
I know.
Like, I know. Do I eat it? Do I throw it away? Do I like, do I put it in a mug and just put tinfoil over that mug? Like, what do I do?
Happened to me literally last night. And I was like, well, I just have to eat the stuff that's left over and doesn't fit in.
And the stuff that doesn't fit in, if you do find a separate container for it, it will just go bad in the back of your fridge.
Yeah. Without the emotional support of its fellow leftover food.
So do you know that you can get paid to watch paint dry? Literally.
Is that the best job ever or the saddest job ever?
Maybe the best. I'm not sure. Are you allowed to listen to podcasts while you're watching it dry? Because that might be the best job ever. So I have a list of the world's 10 weirdest jobs from the undercoverrecruiter.com.
And ooh, that's a fun website.
Yeah. So drying paint, a man in the UK currently has the job and he spends his days watching sheets of cardboard dry to test to see how long new paint mixtures take to dry and will they change color and texture as they dry.
How often do you think he falls asleep?
I think that might be me if I was watching paint dry.
I think so too. And you, no one can get mad at you because you are literally doing the most boring job in the world.
There is a professional sleeper at a hotel in Finland. A professional sleeper was hired to test the comfort of their beds. This individual sleeps in a different one of the hotel beds each night and writes a review about her satisfaction.
That's my dream. That's my dream job because all I want to do is sleep. I woke up this morning at 5:15 just naturally. Oh. By 7 o'clock, I was ready for a nap.
You need to stop waking up so early, girlfriend.
I know, it just happened.
So there's a job called a professional mourner. Have you ever heard of this?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It is a tradition in Southeast Asia that a loud funeral will assist with the dead as they travel into the afterlife. So if your loved one has died, you hire a professional mourner and their only job is to cry and weep loudly throughout the service.
Oh my gosh. Again, I could totally do this job.
You totally could.
Yeah. Oh, and that must be so good too, because like if you have any frustrations, you get them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's probably a very healing job to have.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can do that I could turn into a lucrative career.
I mean, you have lovely little hands.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I bet you could like affix Swarovski crystals to various denim jackets very quickly.
Bethany, speaking of little hands, let me tell you. Taste Bud Gina says, I was born with a smaller left arm and hand. So when I'm washing the inside of bottles or travel mugs, I can get my whole hand inside to the bottom to scrub it.
That's so useful. I have so many bottles that look a little crummy on the bottom.
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to put a bottle brush in there.
Yeah. Oh, so sometimes I'll snip off a little piece of my sponge and then put it in the bottom with the scour side down and then take a fork and use the fork to like direct where the sponge goes.
Yeah, I think having tiny hands is definitely good. And, you know, we can get rid of some of that child labor.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's only her one hand. So she says, you know, if my right hand ever becomes unusable, I will need help doing literally everything because my left hand isn't even big enough to hold my phone.
Wow. Wow. Does she say which hand is her dominant hand?
I'm assuming her right. I mean, I hope her right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think she finds it offensive when people do all those TikTok videos with the tiny hands?
With the tiny hands? With their cats and the tiny hands? Oh, look at this fancy boy.
Untangling jewelry. taste bud Amber says that that is her special secret.
I'm with her. And it's so much fun. If someone has a necklace that's in knots, one of my favorite things is untangling it. It's so satisfying.
No. Oh, I can't think of anything worse, my friend.
Oh, bring me all your necklaces.
So Netflix actually has hired someone to be a professional Netflix watcher. Would you want to do that?
Yeah. What is it? Is it for categorization?
Yes. They need someone to watch all of their content before it's available to the public to assign roles and assign programs and tags and stuff like that to everything that they have.
I bet they have to sign an ironclad NDA because you don't want to be releasing plot points of the new whatever.
Yeah.
Out to the world.
I wonder if they can tell their friends, though, if they've seen it, you know?
I'm sure they can, but they can't say what. You know, like if it's the new Game of Thrones, not Game of Thrones, because that's not Netflix, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If it's a new something or other, they probably can't give anything away other than these are the actors in it. And this is the type of movie it is.
You know, when you sign into different Netflix profiles based on, I don't know, whatever information you give Netflix, the thumbnail for a show or a TV show will be different for everybody.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, based on if you're female or male or non-binary or your age or, and whatnot. When you log into your profile, movies and television shows have different thumbnails for different age groups or whatever Netflix says is a new category.
Kathleen, that explains so much because I don't even remember the show I was watching, but they chose the most bizarre thumbnail for it. It was like an actress that wasn't really in the movie that much.
Yep.
And it was just this weird still image of her looking confused. And that was the one I got. And I was like, what is this? Like, let's say that Harry Styles, Alec Baldwin, and Demi Moore, the most current actors ever listed. Let's say they're in this movie. The thumbnail they chose for me was like the extra in the background. And I'm like, what? So, this isn't right.
It is my understanding that Netflix, they're not the company that chooses those thumbnails. The production companies that give their content to Netflix provide Netflix with those thumbnails and then with a smattering of different categories for those thumbnails. Because I had an intern once who was working for a video production company and they had a film that was going up on Netflix and she was the one photoshopping the thumbnails. And I was like, really?
Really?
Those thumbnails are so important because you choose what you want to watch based on them. Yep. And they were letting the intern handle it.
I mean, you know, interns are probably the most up on the current technology and pop culture. So they're the best ones to choose it.
Because when I log into my mom's Netflix account, it's just all nice looking white couples in the thumbnails. And I'm like, oh, makes a lot of sense.
Well, that explains more like if you go to your partner's house and all of their thumbnails are like semi-nude. Whoever in the movie is semi-nude, you're like, you're a jerk.
Oh, okay. Let's see. This next one, I wouldn't have the stomach for it, but I know people that do. It's a dog food taster.
Oh my gosh.
You have to taste all of the new dog foods going out because you have to know about texture and flavor and stuff.
But yeah. Shouldn't it be a dog if the dog likes it or doesn't like it?
But the dog can't give you notes on texture and flavor. You know what I mean?
But like, I wonder if you get so used to the palate of what dog food tastes like that it stops being an awful taste. Because it's awful. It's awful. I've tried it before.
We have a mutual friend who was in a PetSmart once with his daughter. And there was this woman. They got there right as the store was opening. And there was this woman who sounded a lot like this. And she was behind the dog grooming counter dipping a dog treat into her coffee. And the little girl went up and wanted to know what she was eating. And the woman was like, honey, I put one of these in my coffee every morning. And
okay.
And the little girl's like, can I have one too? And she's like, sure, why not? And our friend walked over and just found his six-year-old daughter eating a dog treat with this woman at PetSmart.
Okay, I'm gonna cut some slack if it's one of those dog treats that looks like cookies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. It was one of the dog treats that looked like cookies. I mean, I don't think she's dipping beef jerky into her coffee.
I hate to say it, but like, I've had some of those.
Oh no.
Kathleen, the dog treats that look like sugar cookies are actually quite good if you have a sensitivity to sugar. Because they're less sugar, but it's the same consistency as sugar cookies. And so it is really quite satisfying to eat. And I have eaten an entire dog treat. And it was one of the bigger sugar cookies.
Can you imagine? This would be a great comedy bit for an episode of whatever. You're on your way to a party and you forgot to bring dessert. And the only thing nearby is a pet store that sells gourmet dog cookies. And you buy them and you repackage them and you put them on a platter. And everybody's like, these are the best cookies ever. Where can I get them?
And you're like, Susie's Paw Patrol.
Huh? Paw Patrol. These cookies are for dogs. But then all of like the upper crust moms of the neighborhood are like, wow, there's less sugar in these. Maybe we should be eating these. And then Susie's Paw Patrol starts selling out of their cookies because all the moms want them. And then they're gluten-free and they're also keto-friendly and then whatever, you know?
Yeah. Moms are eating them down with the vodka luge.
I think we just wrote an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're not awful. They're a little tough. They're hard to chew on. But, you know, if you dip them in your coffee, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. So Taste Bud Julie says that her secret talent is packing every single inch of available space in a moving truck with something useful.
That's she's probably very good at Tetris. That is definitely a skill.
That's rolling and pushing air out of things and pushing things into corners where nothing should really fit. That's a really good skill to have.
And it's so satisfying, and it probably keeps everything safer too because it's all packed really tight. There's something so satisfying about like figuring out, okay, I have this really oddly shaped item, and so I'm going to roll stuff up. I'm going to take a bunch of clothes and I'm going to shove them in the corners. Then I'm going to take all my books and I'm going to support it on the bottom with the books. And then I'm going to take this floppy hat I have that I went apple picking with my girlfriends in, and I'm going to shove that on the top. And like, oh man, it's just the best.
When I was growing up, I always thought that people who had the extra storage bins attached to their top of the car, do you know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that those people were rich because, because I am an overpacker. My dad is an overpacker. I definitely got it from him. And whenever we would go anywhere, we would be so squished in that car. I'd be like, oh God, those rich people with their overhead storage. Like, I bet they're lounging with lots of space in the back of their car on the way to vacation right now.
Yeah. The problem is that you have more space, so you fill more space.
I know.
Anyone who has a bag knows that. If you get like a small purse, you still fill it with too much. You get a bigger purse, you still fill it with too much. Too much.
I have been noticing I've been carrying around no less than 10 different masks with me in my purses.
Yeah.
Like, why do I need 10 masks? I'm not, I don't even have 10 friends.
And every time I forget a mask, I forget that I also have one in my purse.
So I
go back home to get one. And then I'm like, now I have three in my purse.
But when I'm out with someone who needs it, I do feel like a hero. When I'm like, here's this extra one that I'll give you with my snot and makeup already all over it.
Yeah, you're already breathing in my COVID germs from this mask I've used before.
Brenda, Taste Bud Brenda says she can blow a really big bubble with her bubble gum.
Oh, that's great. That's probably a cool party trick.
Or if you're on the set of like, I don't know, a 1950s rom-com and they're like, hey, we want someone blowing a big bubble in the background. You're like, ooh, me. And then the main star is like, wow, you're really talented at that. And then you befriend the main star and then you become a big star because of your bubble blowing.
Yeah, I feel like this is something you've thought about a lot. Like, this is an oddly specific story you've told yourself.
No, I swear,
when I meet the famous person I have a crush on, they're going to see me through the crowd and they're going to know I'm the one for them just by looking at me.
Bethany, I think of these stupid scenarios all day long, whether it has to do with my life or somebody else's life. And then I get anxiety about these magical scenarios and nothing good comes from it.
Do you ever make yourself cry?
All the time.
Yeah, me too.
I think about people losing their loved ones or their pets and then I just start crying.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's how you can make yourself cry if you have to do a scene where you're, you know, acting sad and need to cry.
All right. This last weird skill is one that I think we should both put a lot of time into learning.
Okay.
Picking a lock.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
This is a dream of mine to be able to do. I was trying to pick a padlock the other day.
Yeah.
That we'd forgotten the combination for. How do you pick a lock?
Well, you got to watch a lot of YouTube videos on it. But wouldn't it be really cool if your friend was like, oh, I got to wait for the locksmith to lock myself out. And you're like, hang on a second. You pull a bobby pin out of your hair and you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this.
Miss Fisher from Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries is constantly unlocking various things with hat pins and a little lock pick she keeps in her brassiere. The 20s were so fun.
They sell lock picks on Amazon. It's like, we should all just walk around with little lock pick kits in our purses or our back pockets and whatnot.
I have one in my basket permanently. It's always to buy later. But like, yeah, it feels crazy that that kind of thing is just available for purchase.
Bethany, we all have a lockpick in our wallets already. It's called a credit card, because you would be shocked as to how many doors would open with just, you know, jostling a credit card in the crack of that door.
How does that work?
Once my mom got locked out of somewhere and I started sending her links about how to use a credit card, and sure enough, 5 minutes later, she's like, I'm in.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
I need to look that up, because I want to do it. I want it to actually work.
Okay. I'm going to come to your house in the middle of the night, and I'm going to open your door with a credit card.
You'd better not. I have many weapons, including bear spray. I will bear spray you in the face once I wake up, which will take a while.
I'm going to dress like your cat, Minerva. I'm going to open your lock, and I'm just going to find a nice little quiet corner. And when you wake up in the morning, I'll be like, no!
Oh my God, it's my nightmare.
I picked your lock.
Kathleen, you know, I was talking a couple weeks ago about how to dress for when it's really cold out and dress in layers.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so excited that we have a new partner, Faherty, because they are the best when it comes to comfortable, warm layers that still look really, really cute.
Bethany, I can't even tell you how long I spent on the Faherty website yesterday, just peeling through everything that they have to offer. I got myself the most adorable cream-colored peasant blouse. I cannot wait to wear that with my headbands and my new red patent leather shoes.
And I ordered this beautiful, bulky cardigan that I'm so excited to throw over everything. It's basically going to be my coat.
Yeah. Listen, if you're outdoorsy and you like comfortable, stylish, warm, functional clothes, Faherty is the brand for you. But if you're not outdoorsy, but you just like to look the part, Faherty is also the brand for you.
They're a family-run brand, and they make high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality. They have super soft cashmere sweaters. They have a shirt jacket you can throw on over just about everything, and loungewear sets if you want to be relaxed.
Did you just say shirt jacket? You mean shacket? I love a good shacket. And I know a lot of brands don't offer it these days, but they also have a lifetime guarantee of quality. So they will replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And how many companies can say that? Not many.
And to top it all off, Faherty is giving Acquired Taste listeners 20% off.
That's 20% off. I think I might have to buy a few more items.
Absolutely. So Faherty makes the perfect clothes for layering. Stock up on all your fall essentials now. Head to FahertyBrand.com/taste and use the code TASTE at checkout to get 20% off your first purchase.
That's the code TASTE at Faherty, FAHERTY brand, BRAND.com/taste for 20% off.
Kathleen, when is the last time you stayed over at someone's house and had to take a shower?
It's been a while, but I've done it before.
I think that one of two things should have to happen in this world. I think either A, all showers should be exactly the same when it comes to how they operate.
Oh.
Or B, there should be an online masterclass for how to handle different showers. Because I cannot tell you the last time I went to someone's home and took a shower where I understood immediately how the shower worked.
You know what? I'm kind of there with you. Every knob is different. Mm-hmm. Every temperature sensor is different. And I will say, moving into this new apartment, for whatever reason, it takes water in this apartment building longer to heat up than it does in any other place I've lived. So I can turn on my shower, go make a cup of tea, and then when I get back, it's finally hot enough to shower.
And that should be something that is indicated, you know, like, because otherwise you're unsure by the time you think it's cold water, you turn it the other way, because then it's clearly the hot water side, but it's actually the cold water side you turned it to. It just takes it forever to warm up. I showered in my sister's shower 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
They have 4 knobs.
No.
They have a hot water knob on the left.
No.
A cold water knob on the right.
What?
The middle is the knob that turns on the shower head.
Oh my God.
And then the bottom is the knob that opens or closes the drain. All of the knobs are identical. And when is the last time you saw an actual old timey knob to turn on the shower head and also an old timey knob to crank open the drain?
No wonder everybody in that house is so smart. You need to be a mental level to use their shower.
And then you have the showers where there's one knob total and you pull it and then twist it one way or the other. And then you have two knobs, but you don't know how to turn the shower on. Then sometimes the shower head itself has the knob to turn the shower head on. Or there's a pulley or there's a button. And it's like, can we just make them all the same? Because the last thing I want to do is go to someone's house and be taking a shower where I'm at my most intimate. And then I need to ask a follow-up question.
I can remember times where I've been at people's houses trying to take a shower where I get undressed and I turn on the water, but it doesn't turn on. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Yes. And then I would have to get dressed again to get them to come up to the bathroom and ask them for help.
Yes. If you have a home and someone's staying there, take a look at your shower from an objective viewpoint and think to yourself, could I have figured this out? Or remember back to the first time you moved in.
Yes.
Did you figure it out? Or did it take you a while? Maybe you need to give someone a learner lesson on the shower.
You need to laminate directions
and
then paste them on the wall next to the shower.
Yes. Pretend you are an Airbnb
and
you have to laminate directions to everything because my God, showers are confusing.
And it annoys me to all end. I know it's like so stupid, but you know when you get that perfect temperature and you step in, but the cold water is still pulled up on the bottom?
No,
my feet are freezing.
Everything's been ruined. It's real frustrating.
And Neil and I are different heights. Like, also, every person in the apartment or house that you live in should have their own bathroom. And this should be a law. Because when I step into the shower, Neil's a different height. And I have to readjust the you know, like the direction of the water.
Yeah.
And it's just, I know it takes me less than 30 seconds, but it annoys me.
I once dated somebody who had a lot of money. And I showered in his shower. And he had a shower that had four walls. No, not four walls. That's impossible. Nope. Three walls? Three walls.
Yeah.
Four shower heads.
No.
So shower head on one wall where a normal shower head would be.
Yeah.
Then also a body shower head from that same wall.
Yeah, because God forbid you use your arms to clean your own body.
Yep. Then a shower head on the body shower head on the next wall. Body shower head on the other wall. So you just have, or maybe the other one was up high. I just remember four shower heads. And so you were being hit from every direction, Kathleen. It was like going through a car wash. It was insane. And there was a seat in the shower. I'm guessing for when you get overwhelmed by how much water is coming at you, you do have to take a deep breath and sit down. It was nuts.
Okay, that actually sounds kind of enjoyable though, because I sometimes do get tired in my showers if I'm taking a long shower.
I was overwhelmed. And then when I was done showering and I came out and he was like that shower. And I was like, it was okay, but it was a lot.
It's, exactly. It needs to come with an instruction manual. I do like the sprays that hit you from all angles because then I can bend down and get those crevices that I can't reach sometimes.
I just feel overwhelmed. I feel like I'm at a party and three or four different people are talking to me at once and I just don't know which direction to turn. I do get very overwhelmed and overstimulated in a four shower head shower. I'm used to it coming from one direction. I'd like it to just come from one direction, please.
Mm. Yeah, one direction is a solid shower direction, also a solid band.
Solid band, RIP One Direction.
They'll never get back together, but it's okay.
Really quickly, did you hear that they found a mammoth tusk at the bottom of the ocean?
Come again? No.
So this was in USA Today. Researchers announced discovery of ancient mammoth tusk found 10,000 feet deep in the ocean.
Okay.
This was not a woolly mammoth. This was a Colombian mammoth, which had less hair.
Hmm.
It was off the coast of California they found this sucker. This is not a giant tusk that they found. It was like, I think, 3 feet long, or the portion they found was 3 feet long. But these mammoths could have tusks that were like 16 feet long. When's the last time you saw something 16 feet long? Hmm. I'm looking at my kitchen.
Is a football, how long is a football? 16 feet long.
A football field's way more than 16 feet long.
All right. Where was I? 16 feet long. Maybe like a boat, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, look at the tallest person you know.
Yeah.
Make two of them and then a little more, you know?
So you and a little bit of your cats.
Like, yeah, like I'm 5'10". So maybe 6 foot, maybe take 3 6-foot tall people.
That's a long tusk.
There is a new documentary out about Jacques Cousteau.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it yet, but he really was like the forehuman of investigating what was on in the bottom of the ocean. I bet he would be super pleased that this was found in the ocean.
I bet if they interviewed him, he would go, I am super pleased.
Super pleased.
The ocean is this. I was talking about this over the holidays. The ocean was this is so scary. It's so scary, Kathleen. The fact that they found a mammoth, like, means that other things have washed down there or been down there before the oceans got all big and filled in. So what else is down there?
Saltwater preservation.
Yep.
It's a thing. See, I'm always amazed when rich people, and there's like video or movies where rich people are just jumping off of yachts into the ocean willy-nilly, especially in the deep part of the ocean where you can't see the bottom.
Can't see the bottom.
I could never do that.
Can't see the bottom. Kathleen, and anything. I just saw this movie called The Deep House, which was a massive disappointment, but it takes place like underwater. They're in this haunted house underwater, and anything can come out of
anything.
Of the water.
Anything.
Like,
speaking of massive disappointments, I saw Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. Massive disappointment.
You didn't like it?
No, you saw it and you liked it?
I liked it.
Okay, everybody. Dennis here. Sorry for the interruption, but there's about to be a massive spoiler for Paranormal Activity Next of Kin in the next part. So if you don't want to hear the ending of Next of Kin, please fast forward about, I don't know, 3 clicks of the 15-second button. Just keep going because there's going to be a massive spoiler. Spoiler. Okay, here we go. Okay.
No, Bethany. It's her mom.
Yeah.
At the end, the monster is her mom. And
yeah,
I'm giving this away because anybody listening to this podcast should not watch that movie.
Okay, but I thought the acting was solid, and this is what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the filmmaker and her boyfriend, and then they hire a separate sound guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyone who's ever worked on short, like small team or indie film projects has worked with this type of sound guy. This sound guy is every sound guy I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
He's like kind of like... like, he's the type of guy you could see with just a little bit of push from the right news outlet, he would live off the grid.
Yes.
He is mostly flannel.
He always like, wears those pants where they zip off into long pants or shorts at a moment's notice.
Yep. He, like, is really good at just, like, kind of going with the flow and making friends with everyone else. He's a little socially weird, real quiet.
He has an amazing collection of flannel shirts, like, lightweight and heavy. Want something for every weather type.
Yeah. I've never worked with a sound guy who wasn't that guy. So maybe just watch it for that because it's so perfect. Maybe that's why I love the movie so much, was because of the sound guy.
Not to change subject. But vaccine has just been named Merriam-Webster's Word of the Year.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, man. Now there's this new Omicron variant out there.
Omicron.
There we go.
Yeah.
I saw a doctor tweet, I have no desire to learn every Greek letter in the alphabet. Can we please all just get vaccinated?
I know. And there was like so many news outlets doing like, here's why they skipped the letters nu and she. And I'm like, I don't want to learn them all.
See, I didn't even know what they had skipped letters. This is how much I know about the Greek alphabet.
Yeah, because nu and u was too much like the word new and it would confuse people. And then XI is like also a last name, really common last name. So they didn't want to do that. You don't want to name it after a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so. Hurricane Karen. you're a hurricane in weather and in real life.
I remember once there was a winter storm Bethany and I have a screenshot somewhere of the news outlet saying like Bethany's going to be a bad one or something. And I was like, it's me. Lols.
I would love to have a winter storm named after me.
I bet there has been some kind of storm named after you.
I mean, not you, but
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
So I learned that when your heart is racing out of control, there are different maneuvers with the vagal nerve that you can maneuver to get your heartbeat down. And I only know this because, goodness gracious, my poor brother was out with his friends this weekend, and one of his friends has a defibrillator inside of his heart.
Oh.
And it started going off willy-nilly, like there was a defect with the device, and apparently it's like getting kicked in the in the chest by a horse, and it started going off while my brother's friend was driving. And anyway, so luckily a Tesla pulled up behind them at this stoplight where they all got out of the car, and a doctor walked out of the Tesla.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. And he started massaging, and this is a technique that only a doctor should use, but he started massaging my brother's friend's throat to get his heart rate to go down.
Whoa.
But apparently if you're having a panic attack where it's out of control and you don't know what to do, if you gag yourself with your finger, it makes your heart rate go down.
What?
Yes.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Also, if you hold your nose and close your mouth and try to blow the air out while holding it in,
yeah,
it creates a pressure in the chest that activates the vagus nerve, and it'll help your heart go down. And basically the vagal nerve, it's this long nerve that runs from your brain to your belly, and it sends signals to a cluster of cells at the bottom of your heart's upper right chamber, and it helps control your heartbeat.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
By the way, go back, gentle listener, and rewind like 30 seconds. Kathleen, I love that you gasped at your own story. Did you notice you did that?
Because I get so excited.
And then his defibrillator went off.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for being adorable.
Okay. Also, the last one is a cold water treatment. And if you get a big plastic bag full of ice, if you put your face in this ice bag for several seconds, it'll help your heart rate go down.
That's amazing. Anytime I've doused myself in ice or jumped, my heart rate goes wildly up.
Well, if you're having a panic attack, get some ice in a big bucket. Fill it with water. Put your face in there.
Great. Mm-hmm. Sounds good for your pores, too. You know, freshen those suckers right up.
By the way, my brother's friend is okay as of now. So,
okay.
Knock on wood.
Oh, that's so scary.
It is. It was crazy. But anyway, what did you learn this week, Bethany?
I learned that if you feed the birds and thus feed the squirrels, because there's really no way of getting around it, they will not die if you go on vacation.
Oh, good.
I was concerned about this because I have my flock and I feed them twice a day, and they just come to rely on it. And I did Google, will my birds die if I stop feeding them? And the answer was no. You are a supplemental source of food, but you are not their only source of food.
Mm.
So do not be afraid to go out of town if you are used to feeding your flock.
Mm.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Nature finds a way.
That same thing does not really go for plants, though. You do need to get a plant babysitter.
Yes, you do need to, or travel with your plants, which is, I think, a really fun theme for a short film or a coming of age story.
Last time I traveled, I brought my plants to my mom's house and she killed them all.
Well, that just is like, that was just like one last hurrah for your plants. They just went on a fun trip and then died.
Apparently, like, they need to stay in the environment that they're in because they're used to it, and anything else will shock them into death.
Oh, I guess no road trip.
All right. Well, where can people follow you on social media, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
I'm Web Girl Kathleen on everything. And if anybody works at TikTok that's listening to this, please let me know how I can get into my account.
I think your password is it just like 1234 or let me in?
Yeah, something like that.
God is love. And take that one out, Janice. I've made enough fun of Christianity today.
No, leave it.
I'm in a mood.
Jesus is my bro.
Jesus is in my heart and on my shoulder and in my heart. It's the longest password ever. You can find our show on social media, on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. They're always doing activities online, like group Friday night Zooms and stuff like that.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have an electronic mail address, and that is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a physical address, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best, and you know, it helps us.
Our podcast is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media, Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
And twice a month, we do live shows. You can catch them on patreon.com/acquiredtaste. And our dates for December are
Thursday, December 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's our lunchtime show. And then Monday, December 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is our normal nighttime show.
Yeah, so exciting. Should we do a festive holiday cocktail?
Sure, do some mulled wine with some cider and some eggnog swirled in.
So
how does that sound?
All right, Bethany, do your thing.
What are flavors? This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Blair. I'm just calling because I was listening to the podcast. You're talking about not having, like, Tupperware lids that fit and storing. And Rubbermaid makes one that, like, you stack them together and then the lids stick to, like, clip together and then they clip to the bottom of the container. You can keep it all organized and they're not, like, all mismatched. And it's super helpful because I used to hate having, like, the lids in one place and the body of the Tupperware elsewhere. And it's super organized. Definitely worth looking into. I got mine from Target. Have a good day.
Hey, ladies. Lindsay here. I was just listening to the latest podcast, and one of the listeners at the end was talking about placentas and how appreciative and how amazing they are. And I just thought, how did I miss that episode when Kathleen was talking about placentas? Well, fun fact, I had my son about a year ago, November 7th, and I not only had a placenta painting done, I had a home birth and he was born in my house. I took my placenta and made this beautiful, like, watercolor painting using my placenta. But then, dare I say, I had it dried out and packaged in the little capsules with a Chinese herb, and I took those to help combat postpartum depression. And, well, let me say, I mean, I felt great, you know. I know it's kind of a little weird baby taboo in some people's eyes, but it worked for me. So yeah, placentas, amazing. Thanks again.
Hi, ladies. I am cracking up right now. I am listening to episode 356, and towards the end of the episode, Bethany was telling Kathleen that whatever you hang up, like if you don't hang it up right, it's going to fall in the middle of the night. And I'm laughing because when my husband and I first bought our house, we hung up all of our artwork and mirrors and stuff like that with some industrial, like, Velcro stickers is what I can think. Like, you put one piece of the Velcro on the wall, the other on the artwork, and then you just tape it on the wall, whatever. Okay, so we had this huge mirror that my mom gave me, and we put it on the wall, and a couple of months later, we heard this loud crash and it woke me up. My husband didn't even hear it. And I'm like, I think somebody's inside the house. He was so scared. He didn't want to go check. So I had to go check. And it was just a mirror that had fallen. But I was like, I don't know how I felt at the moment. Right now it's so funny. But at the moment I was like, dude, if that was somebody coming into the house, what am I going to do over there with a robber? So funny. Love you, ladies.
Hi, ladies. This is Megan from Georgia, actually driving home from Pennsylvania, catching up on the podcast, and I got to the most recent episode, 367, and you were asking each other about what you were looking forward to for dinner, and Bethany, you started talking about the cranberry and not zhuzhing it up, and I totally, totally get that, especially when it comes to the stuffing. Yes, please. But don't hate on the cranberry, I'm going to say salad, based off what, how you described it. The best thing ever, and we come from like an Amish kind of background, so anybody familiar with Central Pennsylvania, the smorgasbord up there at Shady Maple, shout out, has the best cranberry salad, and I kid you not, it is not Thanksgiving until you get yourself some cranberry salad. It's got the cranberries, it's got the mandarin, the oranges, I think it even has pineapple, and it's a little kind of like jello-y. Oh, it is so good. Don't knock it unless you've tried it. But maybe you've had relish, which is different, but oh, ladies, it is the best. Anybody from Pennsylvania, PA, especially Southeast, you know what I'm talking about. Thanks, ladies. Love you. Love catching up on the podcast. And thanks for sitting with me for this 11-hour and 700-plus-mile drive. Love it.